This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, January 5th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about different government agencies and their conflicting plans for battling fish kills in the Great Lakes, and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. A Danville City Council subcommittee last night endorsed a smoking ban in restaurants while allowing smoking in bars to continue. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The ordinance subcommittee voted 4-1 in favor of banning smoking in public places where minors under 18 are present. That's meant to ban smoking in Danville restaurants, including those that serve alcohol, but allow smoking in bars. Subcommittee Chairman Ron Candido says he was swayed by the vocal opposition of Danville bar owners.
Because of the outpouring of comments that we've had from the bar owners and the effect that they say it'll have on their business, I support them at this point in time.
The only no vote came from Alderwoman Lois Cooper, who opposes any smoking ban. While recognizing secondhand smoke as a health risk, she says business owners and customers should make their own decisions on smoking.
We do have the responsibility to keep our citizens foremost when passing ordinances, but we should not take away their right to maintain their basic problem-solving instincts.
Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower says a draft ordinance for a smoking ban in restaurants could be ready for the ordinance subcommittee to review next month. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A judge will hear more testimony next month in a hearing over whether a Champaign community activist should get a new trial in a home invasion and sexual abuse case. Yesterday, attorneys for Patrick Thompson brought forth witnesses who say they can prove that Thompson's trial attorney didn't represent him adequately. Thompson let go of Harvey Welch after a jury found Thompson guilty of the charges in July. Thompson alleges that police arrested him in retaliation for a documentary he put together on police misconduct. He was arrested in 2004 while shooting video of police traffic stops, but later cleared. Authorities yesterday indicted a Rockford man on charges of trying to use hand grenades to blow up garbage cans at a shopping mall. 22-year-old Derek Sharif was arrested on December 6th by an FBI-led anti-terrorism task force following a sting operation in which an undercover informant secretly tape-recorded his plans. Federal prosecutors said in announcing the arrest that they were convinced Sharif had operated alone and that there had been no danger to the public. Sharif is charged in the two-count indictment with attempting to use weapons of mass destruction against Rockford's Cherryvale Shopping Center and those doing their Christmas shopping there. The Better Government Association says it exhausted all other means, so now the watchdog group is suing Rob Blagojevich's office. Yesterday, it filed a lawsuit to get copies of subpoenas issued to the governor's administration. Amanda Vinicky has the story.
Better Government Association Director Jay Stewart says, like most modern-day politicians, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich likes to promote his accomplishments.
You know, the governor likes to utilize the press to his advantage, but when press organizations or citizens try to uncover maybe some of the more unseemly sides of the administration, that the interest in publicity dies away quickly.
While that may be an appropriate public relations strategy, Stewart says the governor nonetheless has to follow the law. And he says the governor's office is breaking it by refusing to comply with the Better Government Association's requests for the subpoenas. Federal prosecutors served them as part of a probe into the Blagojevich administration's hiring practices. The Illinois Attorney General also says that the governor should, by law, release the documents. But a spokeswoman for Blagojevich says it was given instructions by the investigators not to, because it would interfere. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Republicans are hailing a federal court ruling upholding Indiana's voter ID law as a victory for voting reforms, while opponents of the law are planning their next move. A three-judge panel ruled 2-1 yesterday that Indiana's law may prevent some voter fraud without affecting a large number of voters. The law requires voters to show a government-issued photo ID before casting a ballot. ACLU of Indiana legal director Ken Falk says he's disappointed by the ruling and says he'll recommend seeking a rehearing before the entire appeals court. Indiana's Republican Party and Republican Secretary of State Todd Rokita called the ruling a victory for election reform. He says it improves voter confidence. Opponents say it's unfair to poor, elderly, minority, and disabled voters. For the second year in a row, a record number of bank robberies have been committed in the Chicago area. There were 284 bank robberies there in 2006. That's 44 more robberies than in 2005 when 240 holdups occurred, beating the previous record. And as the number of robberies has gone up, the number of arrests has gone down. Investigators solved about 60% of the robberies committed last year, which is down from about 70% in recent years. FBI spokesman Ross Rice says the robberies resulted in a loss of nearly $4 million to banks in Chicago and its collar counties. The rise in bank robberies is being attributed to the large number of bank branches that have opened in the area. There are also more than a half dozen repeat offenders operating. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. A disease is spreading, causing large fish kills in the Great Lakes. Biologists and fishery officials are working to prevent further spread of the disease, but there's a conflict between government agencies. Lester Graham reports there's also a cost to businesses that deal in live fish.
The disease that's killing fish is called viral hemorrhagic septicemia, or VHS. Jim Diana is a fish biologist at the University of Michigan who's been looking into what it does to fish.
So it's a virus that the fish pick up, and the virus causes really kind of a general systemic deterioration. Most noticeable, sometimes they'll develop sores or lesions on the outside of the body, but they often will die without any real external evidence at all.
Basically, the fish die from internal bleeding. For several years, there have been die-offs in the St. Lawrence River, which connects the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, but researchers weren't able to confirm the cause was VHS. Then, this past summer, in Lake St. Clair, the lake near Detroit that lies between Lake Huron and Lake Erie, Jim Diana says the fish die-offs were confirmed to be caused by VHS.
And since then, they've found it in quite a few other species, something like 20 other species. So it's quite widespread.
It's not clear how the virus got here, but it originated in Europe. Researchers guess that the infected fish hitchhiked in the ballast tanks of ships, or a live fish shipment escaped into the St. Lawrence River, and it spread from there by ship. Biologists say the spread of VHS is not good. It's not expected to wipe out fish in the Great Lakes, but it is causing some real concern.
We're not talking a couple of fish here. We're talking about large fish kills, and VHS is present in those and implicated in the deaths of those fish.
Mark Gaydon is with the Great Lakes Fishery Commission. Gaydon says because stocking fish is a big industry, there's a lot of fish shipped between the U.S. and Canada and between one state and another.
There is a movement of fish eggs, and other fishery-related things like water that's used in the fish stocking trucks, things like that. There's aquaculture that occurs, fish farms in the Great Lakes Basin. The Departments of Natural Resources harvest fish eggs to use in their stocking programs, and the fish themselves are stocked. So there's movement of fish and fish eggs throughout the Great Lakes Basin, just as normal part of fishery management and commerce that occurs.
So the chance that the virus can be spread by all those fish moving around is significant. The federal government thought it was such a risk that it banned all fish shipments in the Great Lakes Basin. The states quickly appealed that. They said it was overkill. They persuaded the feds that they were doing enough testing and that the chances that VHS would be spread were pretty slim. So the feds backed off a bit, but restrictions are still causing some problems for some people. For example, live fish that are not going to be put back into the lakes, live fish that are actually headed for dinner plates at restaurants, still have to be tested, and VHS poses no risk to human health. Ted Batterson is the director of the North Central Regional Aquaculture Center at Michigan State University. He says he knows one fish farmer whose business is supplying rainbow trout to restaurants.
Well, now to be able to do that, he has to have the certification that these are VHS-free. It takes him, currently, with the laboratory that he'd been sending these to, up to 90 days to get the certification that they're disease-free. Well, that is not timely, because these people who want fish at the other end need them, in essence, like yesterday, not 90 days down the road.
Another business hit by the restrictions on moving live fish is the bait industry. If the bait industry has to test, for example, one out of every 50 fish, and the test costs about $50 each, no one will be able to afford to sell bait fish. The states and the feds are still trying to figure out how to prevent the spread of VHS without hurting the businesses that rely on live fish shipments any more than necessary. But some businesses are already feeling the squeeze. For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the DTE Energy Foundation and the Great Lakes Fishery Trust. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, cloudy skies with periods of drizzle and light fog, some showers also possible today. Continued warm conditions, the high 53. Cloudy, a little cooler tonight, the low 42. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a little cooler, with a high of 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, January 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.